Dad, are you painting a face on an egg?
Yes, I am.
Have you lost your mind?
No, it's for Easter.
Easter.
Right, okay. What's wrong with Easter now?
I just don't understand what it's all about. Why do you give me chocolate?
How do you mean?
When I ask for chocolate, Mum said, no, 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 not good for you. Sometimes you give me more chocolate, what I can eat.
Like when?
Easter, Halloween, Christmas, my birthday.
Okay, okay.
The country is gripped by obesity. All our celebrations have loads of chocolate.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I don't get the characters either.
What characters?
The Easter characters. We learned all about Easter at nursery.
Yeah?
Are Easter Bunny and Jesus best pals?
Well, not really.
Is Easter Bunny in the Bible? Does he carry a basket of eggs all the time?
Well, thing is, he's not really in the...
Does Jesus totally love chocolate then?
Well, the thing is, Easter Bunny's not really in the Bible.
What do you think Jesus' favourite chocolate is?
I don't think he had a favourite.
My favourite's Puttons.
Listen, Isla, lots of people believe lots of different things, but the most important thing is that we have fun together.
You know what I really don't get?
What's that?
Bunnies don't even lay eggs.
Well, perhaps you've seen that video before, but it's a funny video, isn't it? And I think it captures much of the confusion that we have about Easter. Is it about painting eggs and eating chocolate? Or is it about an empty tomb 2,000 years ago? Is it about Jesus or the Easter Bunny or both? Is Easter the best news that we could hear? Or is it all just made up? The greatest ever April Fool that's lasted for 2,000 years. Should we celebrate? And if we should, how should we celebrate? It's sometimes hard to see, isn't it? Well, if you're feeling confused about Easter this morning, you're in good company. Because as we look at our passage, we see that there was confusion even on the first Easter morning, as those who were there tried to make sense of what was going on. And as we try to understand Easter ourselves, this is where we need to start. And so for a few minutes, we're going to take a look at Luke's account of the first Easter, and we're going to see what God says it is all about. And as we come ourselves to the empty tomb, we're going to see three things this morning. And the first is this. We need help to see things clearly. As we enter this passage, we join the women on the way to the tomb. These were the women who had seen everything that happened to Jesus. If you look back through chapter 23 later, you see that they were there as Jesus was crucified. They saw him die. They saw where his body was laid in the tomb. And with deep sorrow, they went back to prepare spices to bring to anoint his body and prepare it for burial. And having rested on the Sabbath, verse 1, very early on the Sunday morning, they returned with their spices. They got no doubt about what they expect to find in the tomb that morning. They saw Jesus die, they saw him buried, and they've come to say goodbye one last time. And as the tomb comes into view in the morning light, they see immediately that something's not right. Verse 2, they found a stone that they saw placed against the entrance rolled away. Someone had been to the tomb before them. And in panic, they step inside to find the body of the Lord Jesus. But with horror, they find the tomb empty. Verse 3, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was gone. And finding the tomb open and the body gone, they're thrown into confusion. Verse 4, they're left wondering. But the translation's not strong enough there. They're not just intrigued by what's happened. They're not just surprised by what they find. They are completely perplexed. They're utterly confused. They can't understand what's going on. Where has Jesus' body gone? And in their panic and confusion, you can imagine the kind of conclusions that they were drawing in their minds. Have we come to the wrong tomb? Made a wrong turn in the dark? Has someone moved the body and placed him somewhere else? Or worse, has someone stolen the body? Have the Jews or the Romans come and taken him away to shame him further? As they try to come to terms with the empty tomb, in their confusion, they can only see things negatively. The only explanation they can think of is a bad one, A terrible and a tragic day just got worse. Not only had Jesus, their teacher and their friend, been cruelly snatched away from them, but now even his body was gone. And they're left with nothing. They can't comprehend how the empty tomb could be anything but bad news. And the reality is that the empty tomb that morning was the best news they could have heard. There was no body because, verse 3, the Lord Jesus wasn't dead anymore. He had triumphed over death. He was alive. And the tomb was empty to tell them that that was true. But on that morning, in their sorrow, they can't understand it. Although they see clearly the empty tomb, they can't see what it's telling them. Although they have all the evidence for their grief to be transformed into joy, they can't make sense of it. They can't see how anything good could come out of an empty tomb. And perhaps, like those women, that's exactly where you find yourself this morning. As you look at your life, it looks a lot like an empty tomb that makes no sense whatsoever. You can't imagine how anything good could come out of the suffering that you're facing now. You can't imagine how God could possibly use your circumstances for anything but bad. There's so much in our lives that we just can't understand. As our health fails on the brink of retirement, as redundancies are announced at the worst possible time, as loved ones are snatched away without any time to say goodbye, as yet another thing goes wrong in our already complicated lives, as God brings difficulty into our lives, we're so often left confused and perplexed by what he's doing. We can't understand why things have to be this way. And like the women at the tomb on that first Easter morning, we're left thinking how anything good could come out of this. Well, as we stand confused by what God is doing in our lives, we too need help to see things clearly. Because so often as we look at our lives, we see, but we don't see clearly. In our confusion, we're unable to interpret things properly, and we see only the bad. And we need help to see how our good and our loving and our powerful Heavenly Father is always at work for good. And as we read on, we see that that's exactly what God did in his kindness for these women and what he does for us this morning. And so second, as we come to the tomb, we need help to remember that Jesus lives. As the women stand confused at the empty tomb, suddenly, verse 4, two men stand beside them. Dressed in clothes that gleam like lightning, these men are angels sent by God. And as the men appear out of nowhere, the women are terrified. Verse 5, in their fright, they fall down, bowing their faces in fear. In fear of their lives. The morning has just gone from bad to worse. But in a moment, everything is going to change. These angels have come with a message that will help them see everything differently. And they begin, verse 5, with a question. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you here at the tomb? As you look for Jesus amongst the dead, you're looking in the wrong place. You won't find him here. He was in the tomb, but he isn't now." And then the angels put the wonderful message plainly. Verse 6. "He is not here. He has risen." The tomb is empty, not because the body's been stolen, but because there is no dead body anymore. Jesus has risen. And these women have prepared their spices for nothing. They've come to say goodbye in vain because Jesus is alive. And he's left the grave behind him forever. And then the angels remind them that they should know this already. Verse 6 again. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. If you flick back through Luke later, you see that three times Jesus clearly taught his followers what would happen to him. That he must be rejected and crucified. And that having died, he must rise again on the third day. That this is what he came to do. He had to die. And he promised he would rise. And if the women had remembered that morning, wouldn't they have woken up so differently? But finally, verse 8, Luke tells us that then they remembered his words. As they listened to the angels, finally they remembered what Jesus had taught them. Their eyes were opened and they began to see clearly. And like waking up from a terrible nightmare, they realized that everything was going to be okay. Because Jesus was alive. Just as he promised, he had risen. And just as these words brought hope to those women on that first Easter morning, the truth that Jesus is alive is the best news that we could ever hear, and news that we need constantly to remember. Because the resurrection shows how God brought the greatest good out of the most impossible situation. How from the horror of the cross, God made forgiveness for sinners possible. How from the darkness of the grave, God made life spring up for us. And if he was able to bring hope out of the most hopeless place on Easter morning, how much more can we trust him to bring hope out of anything that we face? And the resurrection also shows how God had a plan on the darkest day. That Jesus' death was not a tragic accident that took God by surprise. That the resurrection wasn't God's plan B because things went wrong. But Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection were always his plan. And if God had a plan on the darkest day of the most horrific suffering, how much more can you trust him that he knows what he's doing in your life? How much more can you know that you're in good hands? Because Jesus lives, you know it will be okay in the end. And as you trust him now, although you may not understand how, God is at work for good. Now, on Tuesday night, the England football team played against Italy. And one of the team mascots was the son of the former Blue Peter presenter, Simon Thomas. And it was a poignant moment as Ethan led out the team with captain Eric Dyer, because just 4 months earlier, their lives had been turned completely upside down. As Ethan's mum and Simon's wife, Gemma, had died just 3 days after being diagnosed with leukemia. A horrible tragedy. And as Simon Thomas has wrestled with the reality of tragedy in his life, he's expressed his grief in a blog. And these are some of the words that he wrote just a few weeks ago. The daily nightmare roars on like an unstoppable avalanche, unthinkable, unimaginable, unfair. Yet amidst the pain, the anger, the questions, and the loss, the crowds of grief occasionally clear. And the God of the universe, the God who became a man and sat and wept with the lost, whispers, "You're going to be okay." The everlasting echoes of his hope interrupt and loosen the binding cords of loss. It still feels like Friday, but Sunday is coming. And this is the wonderful news of Easter. That although today it feels like Friday, as life in this fallen world is so hard to make sense of, because Jesus rose, because he lives, we know it will be okay. Because Sunday is coming soon. And as we wait for that day, We need always to remember Jesus' words and to trust in his resurrection. So as we come to the tomb, we need help to see clearly. We need help to remember that Jesus is alive. But third, we need help. We need to help others to hear about this too. And having remembered what Jesus says, the women see everything differently. They turn from the tomb and they run back to Jerusalem to share the good news. Verse 9 again. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And you can imagine the scene as they burst in on the disciples, as they try to catch their breath and find words to express what they just believed. We've been to the tomb. The body's gone. We saw the angels. They told us he's risen. Don't you remember? He told us he would. We don't know how, but Jesus is alive. And as the women shared this news, what response did they get? Joy, amazement, celebration as the apostles finally realize what is going on. Well, no, verse 10, disbelief. And verse 11, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. As the women share the best news in the world, the apostles just dismiss it as nonsense. To them, it's just an idle tale, an April Fool that has no chance of being true. In their sadness, they can't remember what Jesus said. But Peter is different. Look at verse 12. As Peter listens, something stirs in him. And so he gets up and he runs to the tomb to see for himself if what they say is true. And as he arrives at the tomb, he too sees the empty grave, just as the women told him. Bending to look inside, he sees the body gone and the grave clothes left behind. And seeing these things, the passage ends with Peter going away, wondering to himself what has happened. And at many points in Luke's gospel, he describes people as wondering about the things that they've seen or heard. Each time he uses the word, it's at points when people are amazed or astonished at Jesus. When he's said something that's challenged the way that they see the world. When he's done something that's blown apart what they thought was possible. And they need time to process what's happened. To realign their minds and rethink how they see everything because of Jesus. And in the same way, as Peter comes away from the tomb, that's what's going on in his heart. As he tries to make sense of how this could be true, of what it means if Jesus is alive. Because if true, this is a truth that changes everything. And just as we see mixed responses on that first Easter morning, in the same way this morning as we look at this passage, the resurrection divides us. And I wonder where you find yourself this morning. Perhaps you're with the apostles. As you hear this story, it sounds so irrational. We know dead people don't come back again. And to believe things like this, you need to be stupid or gullible. Well, if that's you this morning, can I urge you to look at the evidence? Yes, the resurrection will blow apart your understanding of everything else. But there's good evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, beginning with this book, the Bible. And for 2,000 years, people have been unable to explain away the empty tomb. And so can I encourage you to look and see for yourself, to read a gospel, and then to decide. But can I also urge you to look in your heart to see that, if we're honest, we need this to be true. Because as we come face to face with death and tragedy and disappointment and shame, we know that there are things that science and reason and cold logic are powerless to help us with. And the truth is that only the resurrection can help us make sense of life in this broken world. There is no other message that can give solid hope in the face of death. Are you with the apostles this morning? Or perhaps you're more like Peter. As you hear this news, like him, you're intrigued, drawn to go and to see for yourself what this could mean. Well, if that's you this morning, can I encourage you to take your time to make sense of what this all means? To find out more about Jesus, to ask your questions, to be helped to understand, to take one of the books on the way out, to read it, and to chat to someone about what you find there. The resurrection calls you to reshape everything, to center your whole life around Jesus. But as you do, the risen Jesus will bring hope and joy and life that nothing else can bring this Easter. But finally, perhaps this morning you're amongst the women. You've seen for yourself. You've heard what Jesus said. And you've believed it's true. Well, if that's you, can I encourage you to keep on believing this year? To keep your eyes fixed firmly on your risen Jesus. Your only hope in life and your only hope in death. To trust your living King, the one who reigns over everything and who promises to lead you in this life through into eternal life. And to let his death and his resurrection give you fresh joy and fresh hope every day. And as you believe in him, will you share that news with others? Will you tell the world that Jesus is alive? Because this news is too good to keep to ourselves. God has put Peter's out there for us to tell. And so, yes, let's enjoy the risen Christ today. But let's share our risen Christ and let his life transform the lives of those around us. Well, let's pray that God does that in our lives. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful message this morning, that he is not here. He has risen. Thank you that Jesus Christ died for our sin. And thank you that he was raised to give us life and hope and a future. We thank you that in him we've been given a relationship with you and the promise of eternity with you. Help us this year to keep our eyes fixed firmly on him, to keep trusting him, and to know the power of his resurrection at work in us. And Father, I pray for any that don't yet know him as their risen Lord. Would you help them to put their trust in you, to know the peace and the hope that can only come in him. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.